This free MP3 is brought to you by HappyWife.com to help you create the marriage of your dreams.
Okay, so let's do a quick review. Make sure that everybody's on the right page, on the same page. And let's just check up a little bit on the homework as well from the last session. Men and women are?
Different.
Different! How different?
Very different.
Very different. What's the difference? Women are?
Relationship.
Men are?
Not.
It's not just the two of them in this session, folks. Although I love it. Keep it up. You guys are my start. What's the difference? Women are relationship beings. Men are not. Well, if men are not relationship beings, what do they need?
A job.
What's your job, men? To make your wives happy. How do you make your wives happy? Three A's. What are they? Attention, affection, and appreciation. Attention, we gave some tools. How are they going? I'll throw out a couple just to see how they're going. The 20 minutes. The 20-minute rule. How's that happening in your house? Women? It's not happening. It is happening. Any woman notice that the husband is giving them the 20 minutes? How do you feel about it? Did you like it? Does it make a difference? It makes a big difference that he's trying to do it. Okay, that's excellent. The effort makes a difference. Fantastic. Attention, affection. Let's pick one for affection. Affectionate tones. Speaking affectionate tones all the time. How's that one going? Any woman notice that her husband is doing it more now? Yes?
Yeah, sure.
How do you feel?
Good.
Good?
Yeah.
Cherished,
loved.
Good one. Good one. And appreciation. For appreciation, we said, always remember, she's a girl. Gratitude. Let's do that one first. Gratitude. Showing gratitude every day for at least one thing your wife does for you, starting with the small things. You've noticed that one? How does it make you feel? You love it? Big difference, huh? Okay, the tools are simple. You just got to put them into play, and they really work, and they make a huge difference. They really, really do. Women, you were supposed to stroke your husband's ego. Stroke over the top. When? All the time, especially when he does his job. Unfortunately, by the answer to most of my questions, you didn't have much opportunity to stroke his ego when he did his job. But that's his fault. But men, have you noticed your wife stroking your ego a little bit more this past week?
Yeah.
Where? Yeah? Who said yes?
Yeah, I do.
How's it feel?
Great.
You love it?
Yes, I do.
Makes a big difference, huh? Okay, excellent. And then, women, you're supposed to give him a break when he didn't do his job. Tonight, we're going to be discussing starting the section on communication. We're going to give over a lot of principles of communication skills tonight. And next week, we're going to have a discussion of those principles, much more than we will tonight. Tonight, I'm going to give over the principles. Next week, we're going to discuss them more in depth. There are four parts of the communication section. Tonight, next week, are communication skills. The week after that is how to have a good fight, which is a very important part of communication. And then the week after that is the section on intimacy in marriage, which is the highest level of communication between a husband and wife. And so I'm looking forward to the next 4 weeks. It's very important. You know, there was a study done in the University of Chicago which said that 80% of all counseling, 80% of all counseling is brought to a counselor because of communication issues. 80%. Most people go to counseling because women especially feel that they can't communicate with their husbands, or that rather their husbands don't communicate with them. So I want to give you over a couple tools based on my model which will sort of help us understand how to communicate with each other. Yeah.
Just one thing on the topic of fighting. I hope we don't have to go ahead and fight.
As your homework.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about that one. We're going to try that.
Pardon.
So what we're going to talk about tonight are the communication skills. Okay. So the first communication skill we're going to discuss is we just have to do a quick reminder. Men and women are?
Different.
Different. Unbelievably different. And if they are different, doesn't it make sense, therefore, that they speak different languages? And they do. Men and women speak entirely different languages. Before I got married, One of the wise men that I happened to speak to gave me a piece of advice. He said, Arye, women, and I'm sure he told the women the same thing about men, but he said, Arye, women speak Chinese. The only thing, it sounds remarkably like English. What does that mean? It means that men and women use the same words, but actually they have entirely different meanings. How do women use words and men use words differently? Well, women use words as relationships. Men use words as, well, words. That's right. So women use words as relationships and men use words as words. So for example, I'm going to, you know, speak to my wife. I actually have a meeting after I have this session tonight. So on the way home, I'll call my wife and she's going to ask me, hey, honey, how did it go? And I think it's going really nicely so far. So I'm going to say to her, well, fine. What do I mean when I say fine?
Fine.
I mean fine. I'll ask my wife, something will be going on in her life, and I'll say to her, how's it going? And she'll say, fine. What does she mean?
Fine.
Who knows what she means? She could mean fine. She could mean not fine. She could mean, how dare you ask me at a time like this a question like that? And it's all in the word fine. Why? Because women use words as relationships. They use words to convey meaning of relationship.
It's like opening one club in a bridge game. It could mean anything.
It's like opening one club in a bridge game. Could mean anything. I bet you that's a great reference. I just don't know anything about bridge. So, if men and women are different and women use words as relationships and men use words as words, I want to just explain this. There is a tremendous article written by a man named Dave Barry. You ever hear of him? He's a syndicated columnist for the Miami Herald. And he wrote an article called What Women Don't Understand About Guys. And I want to share it with you. It takes a minute. You're going to sit back, relax, enjoy what he has to say. Because it explains the concept of women using words as relationships and men using words as words. And I want to share it with you. And it starts out by saying, let's say a guy named Roger asked a woman named Elaine out to a movie. She accepts, they have a pretty good time. A few nights later, he asks her out to dinner. And again, they enjoy themselves. They continue seeing each other regularly, and pretty soon, neither is seeing anybody else. Then one evening when they're driving home, a thought occurs to Elaine. She says, do you realize that we've been seeing each other for exactly 6 months? Silence fills the car. To Elaine, it seems like a very loud silence. She thinks to herself, geez, I wonder if it bothers him that I said that. Maybe he feels confined by our relationship. Maybe he thinks I'm trying to push him into some kind of obligation. And Roger is thinking, gosh, 6 months. And Elaine is thinking, but hey, I'm not sure I want that kind of relationship either. Are we headed towards marriage, towards children, towards a lifetime together? Am I ready for that level of commitment? Do I even really know this person? And Roger is thinking, whoa, that means it was like February we started going out. Well, check out the odometer. I'm way overdue for an oil change here. And Elaine is thinking, he seems upset. I could see it on his face. Maybe I'm reading this completely wrong. Maybe he wants more from our relationship, more intimacy, more commitment. Maybe he senses my reservations. Yes, that's it. He's afraid of being rejected. And Roger is thinking, oh, I'm going to have him look at the transmission again. I don't care what they say. It's still shifting like a garbage truck. And Elaine is thinking, he is angry. I don't blame him. I'd be angry too. I feel so guilty putting him through this. But I just can't help the way I feel. I'm just not sure. And Roger is thinking, they're probably going to say it's a 90-day warranty. That's what they're going to say. And Elaine is thinking, well, maybe I'm too idealistic, waiting for a knight to come riding up on a white horse when I'm sitting next to a perfectly good person who's in pain. because of my self-centered schoolgirl fantasies. And Roger is thinking, warranty? Wow, give him that warranty. Roger, Elaine says out loud. What? Says Roger. I'm such a fool, Elaine says, sobbing. I mean, there's no knight. There's no horse. There's no horse? Says Roger. You think I'm a fool, don't you? Says Elaine. No, Roger says, just finally glad to know a correct answer. It's just that I need some time, Elaine says. There's a 15-second pause while Roger tries to come up with a safe response. Yes, he finally says. Elaine, deeply moved, touches his hand. Oh, Roger, do you really feel that way? What way? Says Roger. That way about time, Elaine says. Oh, says Roger. Yes. Elaine gazes deeply into his eyes, causing him to become very nervous about what she might say next, especially if it involves a horse. At last she says, thank you, Roger. Thank you, he says. He then takes her home. She lies on her bed, a conflicted soul, weeping until dawn. Whereas Roger gets back to his place, opens a bag of chips, turns on the TV, and immediately becomes deeply involved in a rerun of a tennis match between two Czechoslovakian players he's never even heard of. And a tiny voice in the back of his mind tells him that something major was going on back there in the car, but it's better not to think about it. The next day, Elaine will call her closest friend, and they will analyze, and they will talk for 6 straight hours. In painstaking detail, they analyze everything she said and everything he said. They will continue to discuss the subject for weeks, never reaching any definite conclusions, but never getting bored with it either. Meanwhile, Roger, playing racquetball one day with a friend of his and Elaine's, will pause before serving and ask, Norm, did Elaine ever own a horse? It's Dave Barry. So what do you think? What do you think about that? You think it's exaggerated? I think people think it's pretty accurate. Pretty accurate, a little exaggerated maybe, a little bit, but it's pretty accurate. It certainly describes very well the difference of how women use words as relationships. Men use words as
words.
Now, any questions so far? Nope. Okay, so let's move on to the next point. If women use words as relationships, let's just do some math for a second here. Women are relationship beings, therefore women love relationships. Women use words as relationships, therefore women love
words.
If women love relationships and women use words as relationships, therefore women love
words.
They love words. They use words because words connect them. You know, my father and I will have a phone conversation. I'm telling you, this is exactly what it sounds like. Go, hey, Dad.
Hey, son. How are you?
Good. You?
Good.
Work? Great. You? Put in a good day's work. Well, bye. Nice talking to you. Nice talking to you, too. And I put the phone down, and I look at my wife, and she'll look at me and say, what was that? What kind of a conversation was that? What are you saying? And I'm just telling, what do you mean? I mean, everything was fine. We connected. Everything was fine. If we had an issue to deal with, we would have dealt with. There's no issue. Everything was fine. Could you hang up the phone? We connected. That's how men connect. My wife, you know, will talk to her mother. It takes her longer to say hello to her mother than it does for me with my father to have an entire conversation. Why? Why is that? For example, if I were at a wedding, my wife and I were at a wedding the night before, and she calls her mother the next day, what kinds of things might they talk about?
Dresses.
What else?
The menu.
The menu.
The
food. The flowers.
How the bride looked.
Who was there? Absolutely every detail. Why? Why do they do that?
They have time.
My wife has very little time. Why? She still does it. Why does she do it? Doesn't make any sense.
I also think, maybe I'm wrong, I think women are more expressive than men.
What do you mean?
Describe things. I don't know. They're more communicative.
Seems to be. Yeah. Absolutely. It seems to be. Women are much more, they see, they use tremendous. I don't understand it at all. I mean, never once did a conversation with my father and I go something like this. Hey, Dad.
Hey, son.
How are you? Good. You? Good. Work? Good. You? Put in a good day's work. So what'd you wear? Never happened. Never happened once. Why is that? Because we don't care. Why don't we care? Because that's not how we connect. That's not how men and men connect. You see, you've got to appreciate when men connect with men, most of the time when men connect with other men, they connect through experience. Through experiencing together, not through the words together. You know, I have a bunch of friends. We go out once in a while. And during hockey season, one of my friends has got a big screen television in his office. And we'll go during the playoff, in his office. Can you imagine? And during the playoffs, the Leaf playoffs, you know, we'll go over there. We'll sit down. We'll watch the Maple Leafs lose. And we sit down and we watch. And this is exactly what we do when we're watching the game. We watch the game. We have a couple beers. Oh, that's great! We'll punch each other in the arm. We'll hug when they score. And then we'll go home. And my wife will turn to me and she says, "How was it?" I go, "It's great. I love those guys." And I do. I love those guys. And she goes, "Yeah, really? So what'd you talk about?" It's inconceivable to my wife that I'm bonding with these people just by experiencing together, by punching each other. You know, it's funny you say that, by punching each other. My daughter and her friend, she's now 11. Just last year, she came up to me with her little friend. And she said, "Abba, Dad," she said, "how come men hug like this? You want to stand up for 1 second? Sorry. She goes, "How come men hug like this?" The two little girls start doing that together, slapping each other on the back. When women hug, what do? Oh, it's like this warm, cuddly, fuzzy hug. When a man hug, they sort of touch, kinda, and slap each other on the back a little bit. See, when men connect, we connect by experiencing together. The communication part, the talking things out for a man, when we have something to talk about, we talk about it. We don't want to talk to connect. We'd rather do to connect. Women, on the other hand, need to use words to connect, because for women, words are relationships. The more words, the greater relationships. So when her mother and her start talking about the napkin colors, and they start talking about the shoes that people wore, and they start talking about all these kinds of things, to them, they are connecting. They're bringing each other closer to each other by describing the details. Now, let's be honest, men, for a second here. When your wife starts with you, you ask her how things going in the day, and she starts with you about telling how things going in her day. And you know how women start talking about things. They start talking, and if there's a point...
Wait,
oh, come on, I haven't even started not being nice yet. Now, when women have a point, so what do? Before they get to the point? They start talking around the point, and around the point, and around the point, around the point, around the point, around the point. And around the point, and around the point, and around the point, around the point. Come on, men, be honest. What's going through every man's mind when their wife starts it? Say it loud.
Get to the point.
Not only get to the point, but oh my God! Ah! That's what's going on in his mind. Please, God, just get to the point! Get to the point! So that's what's going on in every man's mind when the woman starts doing this. But gentlemen, you have to appreciate something. Listen very closely. That is the point. That is the point. When she starts giving you the details about everything, you know, hey, honey, how was your day? Good. What happened? Well, you know, I was at the supermarket. Really? What happened at the supermarket? Well, I decided to wear my lime green dress. And it was a summer dress. And it started to rain outside. And you're like, what does that have to do with that supermarket? Gentlemen, you have to appreciate that when a woman starts giving you those details are very important. It's because through the details, she's connecting. Once she sees that you're there for her and that you've opened yourself up to listen to the details and connect to her through those details, once she feels that connection, then, and only then, she'll get to the point. Because the whole idea of that point was to create a situation to feel connected to you first. And the point's not important. The connection's important. Women use words as relationships, therefore they use a lot of them to feel the relationship. Is that clear? So if you want to make your wives happy, one of the most important ways to do that is to step up, be a man, do your job, and when she comes after you with the details, you say, okay, I'm open, I'm ready, and I'm going to absorb as many details as I possibly can. Isn't that true? Now, women on the other, I got to tell, yeah, question. Right, so exactly. So a woman thinks that you need to create the entire background scenario to understand the point more deeply. The way a man thinks is that you just tell me the point. Then they miss the point. That's exactly what I've been saying. That's exactly what I've been saying. Then they miss the point. I really don't have any idea what you're saying, actually, to be honest. Yeah. That was a joke, by the way.
It's when you were talking about your wife and how you helped her with preparing her lesson, and afterwards she wrote you the note, hero, and all the women in this class were asking you details. Did she know that it was your night off?
Right.
Did you know that she knew or whatever? All kinds of questions, because to us it made a difference in how she responded.
Right. So. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's a very good example. A very good example. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, I remember you were telling us a story about the Japanese guy on the train or something.
Right.
Is that the same idea, that if he would have listened, he would have gotten right to the point? Or
well, no. If he would have listened to her so and really opened himself up, she would have felt that connection, gotten to the point to give him a chance. Okay, yeah.
Last week I made a comment about my husband having, I don't know, we'll call it that feminine side.
Don't say that about your husband. Don't say he has a feminine side. So, Johnny, you got to get to the point. You got to make her happy. Do you know when men... I'm going to tell you when men use details. Most of the time when men use details. Because there are... I mean, I understand there are times in a relationship when a man uses details a lot and it actually bores the wife a lot of the time. This is not unique to your marriage. When does a man use details? When it, well, work, sports, golf, buying a car. But when is that? That's all great examples. But when is that?
When there's money involved.
When it's about him? Okay, but women use details. It's about her also. But what's the difference? When do men use details? Why are men using details? Because to show off, someone said. But that's true sometimes. When he's passionate about something, that's true too. But why does he use them? That's true. That's true. I in this room when I did this program, must be about a year ago, This one woman said her husband is a computer something or another. He has a computer company, and he comes home and talks to her about the computer stuff, and in detail. She doesn't understand a word he's saying, but he feels in detail he needs to describe. When you know why men use details? Because they want to explain something. That's why men use details. They want to explain something. So if let's say details about golf. I want to explain to you, well, you know, and I took my backswing back and I was tilted a little bit forward, so when I sliced the ball, I overcompensated with my right hand. He's not trying to connect to you through those details. He's trying to explain to you something. He's trying to clarify something. That's when men use details. Very seldom are you going to find a man using details to connect. You know, honey, I don't feel like we're connecting, so let me tell you about my backswing. It's not how men think. But women, on the other hand, they do. Women use details to connect. It's not so much the conveying of the information as the concept of the connection that comes through the conveying of that information. Women use the details to connect. So, now I have to tell you something about this, because this is the one area, you're never going to hear me use this word again in the entire 8 weeks. Because we have women as relationship beings who love words and love communication and love, obviously, connecting, who want to connect as much as they can. And they have an insatiable appetite for details when they feel they're connecting. And then you have men who really don't connect through details. But I just told the men, you got to step it up. And you've got to open yourself up to allow her to use the details to feel that connection. Here comes the word. And I'm sorry I have to use it, but I have to use it. This is the one area. There's no other way to use this word. But this is the one part where you really have to compromise. You really and truly have to compromise. Women, you have to realize that when you start discussing these things, you have to realize you're talking to a man. And he doesn't have the capacity for details like you, a girlfriend or a sister or a mother would. So when you are discussing the details with him, realize he has a limited capacity and that you should get to the point a little faster than you would with a girlfriend. Men, on the other hand, you have to open yourself up. Realize that the point is not the point, the details are the point, and that you have to open yourself up and expand yourself to allow yourself to accept more details from her so she can feel that connection. Is that clear? This is one area. You've got to compromise. Men, you've got to step up, and women, you've got to realize. What happens in a situation when a woman is discussing the details, but the man is full up? He can't get any more details in his head. But he's given it a good try. I mean, he stood up, and he's given it a good try. And he doesn't have a capacity for any more of the details. What's he going to do? He's going to tune out. Isn't that true? He's going to tune out. How often does that happen?
All the time.
Yeah, I mean, all the time. After tonight, it's going to be a little less because he can open himself more. And after tonight, you're going to expect him to do it a little less. You know, and you're going to get to point a little faster. Okay, that's true, but it's still going to happen a lot. So what happens when that happens? I'm going to give you a piece of advice that I do in my marriage. But I want to hear what you think of it. This is what I do in my marriage. When my wife starts talking the details, and I know she needs to connect, and I'm there for it, and I'm trying my best. But she says, I'm full up. I got to the point where I can't process any more details and keep it in track. I can't do anymore. I really can't. I've stretched myself to the limit. What do I do? Well, there's three options of what I could do. Number one, could tune out. That's an option. Number two, I could say to her, honey, get to the point right now. Or number three is the third option, which is the one that I do. I turn to my wife and I say, sweetie, in affectionate tones, say, I love you, but I'm full up. And I really know that now you need to use these words to connect to me. I know you do. But any more words, I'm either going to tune out, or, and you know, that's the worst thing. I don't want to tune out. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a choice. You can either get to the point, or we can take a break for a little while so that I can sort of get my capacity back, and then we can talk in like 15 minutes or so, whatever it may be. Or you can call a girlfriend. You guys, I'm not kidding. I do that with my wife. If you feel like you need to connect to me more with these details, I'm done. I really am. And if you start speaking more details to me, I'm going to tune out. And I don't think that's respectful, and I don't want to do that. So if you really feel like you need to connect to me more, can we take a break for a little while? Women, what do you think about that?
Everything except the
Everything except call your girlfriend. That would really annoy you. But it annoys my wife too, actually. No, there are times, where it's, even though you want to discuss something with your husband, it's more prudent to call your girlfriend about it. There are times. You've got to pick, you got to know, Ruth, you got to know that your capacity as a woman for connecting, the need to connect with, for details, far exceeds your husband's ability to do that. So then that's true. So if it's something that's essential to your relationship with your husband, save those for him. And the other ones, call a girlfriend. And if that one is essential, or your mother, or your daughter, or your whoever it may be, if that's essential for him and you feel like you need to connect, then tell him, it's okay, I understand, you're a man, you can't absorb any more details. Let's take a break for a little while and we'll get back to it, if it's really essential. A man never gets filled up with discussing ideas. So if you want to discuss ideas, we can talk all day. We're talking about using details to connect, not ideas. We're talking about using details to connect. It's two entirely different things. Absolutely, absolutely. When my wife and I start talking about concepts, deep concepts, I have an unlimited capacity for that. Come on, hon. Yeah. Well, he's stuck. If it's during those 20 minutes, during those 20 minutes, he's stuck. He's in there for that 20 minutes. It's a hard pill to swallow. I know women, this is a hard pill to swallow, but honestly, ask yourself, would you rather that he tunes out and just nods pretending? Or would you rather he be honest?
Yeah, but sometimes
I know, life's not perfect. You didn't marry a woman. Do you like football? Okay, Meg, my wife can't stand it. Like, I'm going to sit down with her. I'm going to say, watch a football game with me. I understand she has a limited capacity. After she sees two or three people hit each other, okay, it's enough. I'm not going to make her watch a whole game. Oh, it's too bad. Life's not perfect. You married a man. He has a limited capacity. That's it. You got to work with what you have. Yeah.
How long do you have to listen to the details before you can say take a break?
It's well, you know what? Maybe today. The rule is
40-50 minutes.
The rule is you have to do it as long as you can. So and. Well, it depends on how important it is to your wife. Sometimes the details are very quick. She'll do it in 5 minutes. There's no number. There's no number. The job, it's relative. But you increase your capacity as you do this, by the way. You get better and better at it. Yeah.
When you say women have a propensity to
Okay, are we going to have to take this in stages? Hold on. Let me see if I'm with you so far. If women, yeah, you're saying that.
Are women testing?
Just say it straight.
Are women testing the strength of relationship through the process of a game of going through in an inordinate level of detail, and you follow that, then you're interested in that person because you.
So the question is, do women use this by going after all the details and by taking you through this maze of concepts before they finally get to it? Are they testing you? So are they testing the relationship? No, they're not testing. Absolutely not. They're not testing the relationship. They're just being women. They're not testing you. They're just being women. That's what women need. It's not a grooming activity. It's just that's the way women connect. You have to appreciate women and men are different. You don't connect like that. She does. She really does. She's not trying to manipulate you into or test your relationship. That's the way she connects. That's how she does it. You got to appreciate. That's how she does it. Thank you. I understand. It's hard to grasp. This is really what I was hoping would happen next week. But it's okay. We can go with it now, and I'll do the rest of it, the other part of it next week. Yeah, we'll come around. So talk about it in front of the mirror. What? Why waste your husband's time? Well, if you need the validation and feedback and all of that, you're better off talking to a girlfriend, because he's going to be lost in about 3 minutes after you start going on to it. We're going to talk about that. I understand what you're saying. It's actually a really good point. The point is that women also need to work things out by talking things out. And I'm going to talk about that if we have time tonight. I'm actually going to talk about it, if not next week, that exact point. Yeah?
I was just going to say, I think the football game is like a perfect analogy. I mean, if I put the football game on, now I would say 30 seconds later, my wife is just that's it. She's, and if I split screen two sports, okay. I mean, like,
it's 15 seconds.
Right. She's, that is a perfect analogy.
Absolutely.
The opposite.
Absolutely. Sports is always the perfect analogy. I agree 100%. And you don't sit her down.
Oh, no, but on the phone, I mean, with her mother. I mean,
right, but you don't sit your wife down. You don't sit your wife down and say, okay, let's watch football together. Okay, great. And after 30 seconds, she's talking about it. You go, wait a minute. Sit down for at least 20 minutes or you don't love me. Right? But she does that with you. She does that with you. Why? Because for her, she connects with the words. It's an important issue. It's really an important issue. Any other questions on this topic? Yeah.
That expression saying, I'm so up. What is it? I'm full up?
I'm full up. So she said, saying I'm full up sounds negative because isn't it better to say something like,
I can't focus
right now, honey. I'm a little tired. Yeah. Listen, no offense, okay? No offense. I'm giving over a point which is very important. There's no illusions. He's not a woman. He doesn't have that capacity. He fills up. It's not negative. He's just different. It's not a negative thing. I can imagine if a girlfriend or your mother said it, it would be devastating. But he's not a woman. He's not your girlfriend. He's not your mother. He's your man. He's your husband. He doesn't have that capacity. You've got to get it through your mind. You have to understand he doesn't have that capacity. He's a man. She said genetic defect. or high revolution, whichever way you want to put it. Okay. So, yeah, one more question here.
I just wanted to clarify maybe.
Two more questions here.
That's
okay. No, please.
Can you say, I can't follow anymore right now? Instead of, I think she's just harping on the word choice.
I know. I understand. But I chose my words carefully because I want women to appreciate that it's not that he's tired. He can focus. If you start talking about football statistics or hockey, he'll focus. He sits at work and focuses for 8 hours straight without taking a break. He can focus. It's just, this is different. You have to appreciate, this is different. Is this sad? Beautiful. 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 Very lucky. Hey, don't worry about it. We're all with you. All our wives are saying what your wife just said. He's the exception. Okay. So, in discussing the difference in the way the men and women speak and discussing details, I want to share a couple more little things with you. You guys, did you like the Dave Barry one? Can I read you another short one? Talking about details. I think this is priceless. This is priceless. So, Dave Barry discussing men in details. I like this guy. He says, the problem has arisen in his own, it's called, this is on communication, communicating with women. He says, the problem has arisen in my own personal relationship with my wife, Beth, that guys do not communicate enough. For example, I'll be reading the newspaper and the phone will ring. I'll listen to it and I will answer it, listen for 10 minutes and hang up and resume reading. Finally, Beth, my wife, will say, who was that? And I'll say, oh, that was Phil Wonkerman's mom. Phil's an old friend we haven't heard from in 17 years. And Beth will say, well? Well, what? She'll say, well, what did he say? What did she say? And I'll say, she said Phil's fine. Make it perfectly clear, my tone of voice, that I don't want to be rude, but I am trying to read the newspaper here. But Beth will ignore this and she'll say, is that all she said? And she will not let up. She will continue to ask district attorney-style questions, forcing me to recount the conversation until she's satisfied that she has the entire story, which is that Phil just got out of prison after serving a sentence for murder he committed when he became a drug addict because of the guilt he felt when his wife died in a freak submarine accident, while Phil was having an affair with a nun. But now he's all straightened out and has a good job as a trapeze artist and is almost through with the surgical part of his sex change operation and just became happily engaged to marry a prominent member of New Kids on the Block. So in other words, he's fine. Which is exactly what I told Beth in the first place. But is that enough? No, she wants to hear every single detail. What do you think? Right on. It's right on, isn't it? Okay, so one more thing I want to discuss with you about, because this you'll see why in a second, about how when women use details and men just have to get in there. I have a website, which you guys will get information about. It's called amazingmarriage.com. Amazingmarriage.com. And on that website, I encourage people and ask them all over the world where I'm teaching to get in touch with me and send me jokes, articles, anything that pertains to the stuff we're talking about. And I love it. And somebody sent me this a few weeks ago. It's a cartoon which says, why we'll never understand each other. You ever see this? And it has a cartoon on one side which says, what he heard, and on the other side, what she said, and then flips it. And I love this. This is exactly the point we're talking about. And you'll see one of them, especially what we're talking about, the details, and I'll tell you in a second. Let's just go through some of them. What he heard. You're way too stupid to be trusted driving alone in bad weather. What she actually said. Drive carefully, dear. You got the hang of these? Some are good, some are okay. What she heard. What she heard. It's your lot in life to stop whatever it is you're doing in order to serve my every need. What he actually said. Honey, do you know if we have any more AAA batteries in the house? What he heard. You're going to love this one. What he heard. I'm going to make you wish you were dead for the rest of the week. What she actually said. Tell me the truth, honey. Do I look fat in this dress? Okay. What she heard. Anything less than absolute perfection makes you an utter failure as a wife and a mother. What he said. Mom's coming over for dinner. What he heard. This is really why I'm reading it for this one, for what we were just talking about. What he heard. Honey, why don't you put your head in a vise and I'll turn the handle until your skull explodes. What she actually said. Honey, why don't we just turn off the TV and talk for a while? And one last one. What he heard. Your right to independent thought and ability to form an opinion has now been revoked. What she said. I do. Okay. So if men and women are different and they speak different languages, you have to appreciate that women are very, very, very unbelievably indirect. And men are
direct.
Women are extremely indirect. When they speak, because they're going to speak around the point because they want to feel that connection and they want to use words as a relationship to feel how you're responding to what she's saying and all the nuances that go around it and everything that... They're amazingly indirect. Men are much more direct. I want to give you a tool tonight, a communication tool, and we're going to go into it much more next week. I'm going to stop soon. I'm going to go much more into it next week. And I want you to listen to this tool and tell me what you think about it. There's a complaint that husbands have about their wives a lot of the time. It's not everybody, but I hear it a tremendous amount. And I want to address this complaint. A lot of husbands complain that their wives nag. They nag. It may not be in your marriage, but a lot of heads went like this. Why do women nag their husbands? What is, first of all, what do we mean by nagging? Saying the same thing over and over and over again? And again and over and over and over and over and over again? Nagging and nagging and nagging. Why do men feel that their wives nag? Because they do? Is that what you said? Because they do? Perhaps. Maybe they do. Why do women nag their husbands?
Because we think
that
they're not listening.
So the answer is, by most of the women, is because they're not listening. Now, I want to change this around a little bit. Because I know that's what you all think. You all think that the reason why you nag is because he's not listening. Does anybody here speak Chinese? Mandarin Chinese? Put up your hand if you speak it. Now, I don't either, but I'm going to make up a word. Let's say I wanted to tell you, would you please go downstairs and get me some water? I'm thirsty. And I tell you in Mandarin Chinese. Wah, 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 wah. So are you going to go get me the water? Wah, 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 wah. It's unbelievable, but he's not going. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell him again. Go out, go out, go out, go out, go out, go out, go out. How many times would I have to tell him until he gets the water?
You can tell him in English. You can tell him until the sky turns purple.
That's beautiful. I could tell you in Mandarin Chinese till the sky turns purple. You're not going to go downstairs and get me any. Women, You're speaking, most of the time you're nagging, you're speaking to the man in a language he doesn't understand. Pardon? I'm giving you an alternative way to look at it, and it is true. And I'm going to show you why it's true. It's a different way of looking at it. What?
This whole experiment with people trying to communicate in different languages, and
it didn't work so well. Exactly. See what happened? Yeah. I'm only halfway through a point, so I may not answer. Do you want to wait one sec? Let me finish the point, and then I'll come. I'll take a couple questions. You see, a lot of the time, I know women, you want to blame it on your husband for not listening, and therefore you got to tell him something. My brother told me a very, no offense, but my brother told me a very interesting definition of insanity. We all do this. What's the definition of insanity? I don't know where you got it from, but what is the definition of insanity? Right. Repeating the same action over and over and over again and expecting a different result. That's really why women nag most of the time. Is because women are saying the same thing over and over and over again. He didn't get it. If you tell it to him in a language he understands, you really tell it to him in a language he understands, how many times would you have to tell him? Once. Once. The trick is to learn how to communicate it to the way that he'll understand it. So much is women, you're unbelievably indirect. So much of what you do is taking for granted that he gets it with the words that you say. He doesn't get it. The trick most of the time is learning how to communicate it so he gets it. I want to bring up an old friend. Remember the universal light bulb theory? Remember? The woman asks the husband, please change the light bulb. And he doesn't do it. Please change the light bulb. Please change the light bulb. Please change the light bulb. So that could be nagging. I asked you to change the light bulb. Please change the light bulb. Please change the light bulb. What was the reason why he didn't change the light bulb? But no, that wasn't really. Why did he get distracted?
He didn't want to change it.
It's not true he didn't want to do it. Of course he wanted to do it.
He wanted to do it.
No, that's all. He got distracted. He got distracted because it wasn't important to him. If you would have described it to him in a way that he understood what it meant not to change the light bulb, he would have changed the light bulb the first time. For example, how could he do that? What do you really mean? I know it's a paradigm. But what do you really mean when you say please change the light bulb? Well,
you said it had to do something with the relationship.
Well, that could be true. You want the light bulb changed, but if you really wanted the light bulb changed, you could change it yourself. You can't reach. Okay, you'll ask your son. You'll get the handyman. That light bulb means something. There's a reason why you want him to change it. Yeah. No, that one, he won't do it. He'll light a candle. He'll figure out another way to read the car. He'll go sit in his car, turn on the engine, and turn on the little reading lamp before he'll figure out to change the light bulb himself. Yeah. That's it. There's a whole relationship world. Remember, it's a paradigm. There's a whole relationship world in that light bulb. Does he take what I ask seriously? I know that when his boss asks him to do something, he runs and does it. I know that when his mother asks him to do something, he'll get up at midnight and run to the store for her. Does he, when I ask him to do this, does he respect what I ask? Am I a priority? Am I the most important thing? If you communicate it the first time, I know it's hard. This is very difficult because you're not always in touch with it. But if you could communicate the very first time or the second time what that means to you that you want him to do so he gets it, you won't have to nag because he'll get it. I'm going to give the light bulb example. Light bulb example. My wife turns to me and says, honey, will you please change that light bulb? And I go, sure. She says, now remember that if you don't change that light bulb, it makes me feel that you don't respect things that I ask. Or it could be, honey, would you please change that light bulb? And remember that by not changing the light bulb, I feel that you don't respect, not respect, that's one we just used. You don't value me and what I ask for you to do. Now I realize, I click in and I go, whoa, I understand it's not a light bulb. This is a huge relationship issue. Ask any man, ask any husband, turn and ask him, would he rather go through the effort to change the light bulb or the effort to go through a marital issue? Which is less painful? Oh, are you kidding? So if you tell them what's underlying, if you can get in touch, I know it's hard because you're not always in touch with it. But as a woman, if you could get in touch with what it is that you're really asking him and then communicate that, 90% of your nagging would go away. Maybe less because he's still a man. But so much of it would go away. It's not all his fault. It's not all his not listening. It's your communicating. You've got to communicate to him like a man. He doesn't understand the nuances. He doesn't understand the nuances. He never will get it. My wife's going to... I'll come to the questions in 1 second. My wife's going to talk to you about this more in a couple weeks. The women in particular, about this one concept, is about how women really... You honestly think your husband's going to read your mind. That he's going to... You take so much for granted as a relationship being... So much of what you, to you, is just totally clear, is you'll never get. So you have to get in touch with that. And that takes a lot of work. And then you have to communicate it like that. If then he still doesn't want to do it, then you have an issue. Then we've got something to talk about. Then he has issues, relationship issues. Then he has intimacy problems. Then he has, and then that's, now you have issues to discuss. But if you tell him what it really means to you, okay, I'll take questions. I'm going to come to you next. Choose hand first.
To me, nagging is when, like, the underwear aren't being put in dirty clothes, or they're simple things, and I don't think that, I mean, maybe the other woman can correct me, that we nag when things aren't being done, that we just, they're usually simple things that we want done, and I don't think that I have to say, put your underwear in the, he does put underwear in the dirty clothes, but put your underwear in the dirty clothes, like every other day, but say to him, put your underwear in the dirty clothes because it's really important to me. Children have expect me that you're putting your underwear in the dirty clothes because I really want you to do it. Like,
well, then you won't have to, you know, it reminds
I mean,
me.
You're not stupid. You're just because you're saying, I'm a man, I'm stupid.
No, that's, no offense, but that's what you're hearing. It's certainly not what I'm saying.
But
men and women are different. It doesn't make us stupid. We're just different.
If we keep asking you to do the same thing over and over, that's nagging, right? Duh,
yes.
Just do it.
Duh, just stop asking.
Just do it.
If you were not doing it for a reason.
Right, because it doesn't mean anything.
But because we asked you to do it the first time and the second time, shouldn't you click in that we want you to do it?
Well, you wanted us to do it that time. You know what this reminds? I'll tell you what it reminds me of. I'll tell you what it reminds me of. Yeah, you can see that the mothers trained their husbands well. Trained them how to be good sons. They certainly didn't train them to be husbands. Can't. Let me tell you. This reminds me. What you're saying reminds me of something. You know, I was once teaching a program in Jerusalem, and this girl. They were talking about it was on family something or another, and this girl. She was a young girl. In her early 20s, studying in Israel, and her parents came to visit her, and she brought them to a class, and we were discussing the topic of relations and marriage. Something about that. And the father put up his hand, and he said, my wife and I, for the last 33 years, have had the same argument. But every time we argue about this, it's resolved in bed. And it's the greatest way to resolve an argument. So he was making a point. Okay, fine. We'll discuss that a different time. But the daughter put up her hand and she said, Daddy. First of all, she was a little embarrassed. And she said, Daddy, but I don't want to be fighting about the same thing for 33 years. Like, why don't you work that out? Move on. It's the same thing with this. It's the same idea. If you ask him to put his socks, you know, again, that example, throw your socks in the hamper, and every single day he doesn't throw his socks in his hamper, it's not that he's an idiot, that he doesn't get it. Let's try a different approach. Maybe you're speaking to him and he's hearing.
How else would you say, put your socks in the hamper?
Well, you would say to him, put your socks in the hamper. He'll go, okay. He'll pick them up and throw them down in the hamper. That's fine. The next night, he'll throw his socks on the floor.
And I'll say, could you put your socks in the hamper?
And he'll go, sure. And he'll take them and throw them in. And the next night, he'll throw his socks on the floor.
So I should say, here would really make me happy if you could save me a job by every night, instead of putting your socks on the floor, putting them in the hamper.
Because it makes me feel like...
like you respect my wishes.
He'll never throw his socks on the floor again. Okay, that's not true. You may only have to do that a few times before he gets it. Yeah. You have to. It's not condition. It is. It's kind of like that. But you, what, I don't know how to say this in a way that you're going to get this any more clearly. You speak different languages. You take a lot for granted. You really do. Women, you really do. I'll tell you. This is part of next week, but I'll tell you. I laugh out loud with my wife. This happens maybe at least two or three times a week. My wife will come up to me and she'll, well, you know, I'll be sitting down and, you know, learning or reading, and she'll come up to me and she'll go, and then she said, she'll say, she'll come into a conversation, and said, and what do you think about that, what she said to me? What? She's in the middle of a conversation in her head about something we spoke about 2 hours ago. And now all of a sudden, now 2 hours later, she picks up the conversation where we left off and expects me to be there with her at the exact... Your wife do that to you? Those kinds of things? So much is taken... My wife does that with her girlfriends. They pick it up. It's like, oh, yeah, you know what I think of what she said? 90% of the time, my reaction is, 99%, 100% of the time, my reaction is, who? Who said what? No, Aunt J, Aunt B. What? Where did that come from? You got to get it through your mind. You have to appreciate. You take so much for granted in the way you communicate. You have extremely refined communication skills versus your man. Terms of relationship. Yeah.
Two things. One, I want to say, you say how men like us to get to the point. They like us to be direct.
Correct.
Find all these details.
Correct.
And this is sort of the opposite of that. You know, it's very clear. Put your socks in the hamper. To the point. There's no detail. It's really the first.
That's not the point.
That's not the point.
No, that you did not get to the point by saying put your socks in the hamper. To you.
Right.
And at that point, communicate it.
Right.
By saying, put your socks in the hamper, he won't get it the 11th time. Just like he didn't the first. Right? That's the point. Get to the real point. What's the real point? The socks are a symbol for something in the relationship. Oh, I get it. Any other questions? Sorry, come to you next. Yeah.
You're making it sound like every task now that a man is asked to do, the relationship is always at stake on every thing. You're dead if that happens, because now you're...
Well, I won't go so far as to say you're dead.
Okay.
I won't go that far.
Okay.
Of course, everything for a woman is part of the relationship. Every single thing, except the time that you figure it out. That time it won't be.
Earlier you made a big point about saying this is the only time I'm ever going to mention the word compromise. So what I understood.
again, taking it too far.
Right. The philosophy of marriage is not about compromise. The philosophy of marriage is about you giving 100%, doing your job 100%. Obviously, you're going to, in practice, you're going to have to compromise.
Oh, okay.
But the philosophy, there's no compromise except in this one thing. There's no compromise. I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to give 100%. In practice, you're going to compromise because you're human. You're going to make mistakes. Yeah. Right, Deborah Tanner wrote a book called You Just Don't Understand Me. It's actually based on a book called Please Understand Me by somebody named Kersey, Dr. Kersey, which is based on Carl Jung's theory of personality types. And he discusses, all those books are tremendous books in terms of understanding the differences between personality types. But a lot of those times, those are gender, have nothing to do with gender.
Yeah.
A lot of the times they do.
Yeah.
I would suggest if you're interested in that stuff to read those books. They're tremendous. That's a very good suggestion. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. So don't forget to do your homework. Seriously, get to work. Do your homework. Women, digest what I said. Think about it. And next week you're going to go into more detail in terms of learning how to communicate, especially when you have issues to discuss. We'll see y'all next week.
We hope you've enjoyed this free MP3. Please be sure to tell your friends about happywife.com.